The Guardian.
Football Weekly Extra.
Live at the Emirates, the home appropriately of slack end of season performances. It's our live salute to the campaign that was, and yes, it is a 60,000 sellout. Tonight on the agenda, Wembley, homage to Catalonia as men from the Ramblers stroll past Man United. We ask, was this one of the greatest Champions League final performances ever? All of that plus post, questions from the floor, and our special question of the season, how was it for you? Our panel and public have their say in today's campaign-ending Football Weekly. Hello, everybody. An awful lot of people here today, in every sense of the word. For anyone who's not watching in colour, I should explain that we are in the Royal Oak Suite of the Emirates Stadium. Funny that this place was available, but there you are. We have Inappropriate Fruit Consumption's Barney Rohn, eh? Amy Lawrence rejoining us just in time. Rejoining us just in time for the season to be over. And his reflections as sober and enthusiastic as ever, Barry Glendening. Excellent. That brings us on nicely to big game at Wembley. What a season finale, Barney Rohn.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance, wasn't it? I mean, I think most people put Barcelona as favourites, but that was really a fantastic performance. I mean, I'm somebody who's said in the past I might find Barcelona a little bloodless for all their incredible, obviously, poise and excellence, but that was something else. It really was a fantastic performance, and I think three Champions Leagues in 6 years now, we can probably talk about an era, and this is the Barcelona era. I mean, they're quite a fantastic team.
I would like to ask Barney if he's in any way related to the Barney Rohn, who regularly gets abused on the Guardian sport blog for saying Barcelona aren't all that, actually.
Did you not compare them to a hamburger only this morning, Barney?
Yeah, but I just really wanted to write about that hamburger, and it was a question of kind of shoehorning the two together. I mean, Barcelona, obviously a fantastic team. It's more their London-based fans who I've probably had a pop at over the years. I mean, I thought they're absolutely wonderful tonight. It'd just be interesting to see what happens now. I mean, I can't see any reason why they shouldn't just keep on winning the Champions League year after year. I mean, they're a young team. I suppose they'll lose Xavi and Puyol, but doubtless there are hundreds of teenage Argentinians and what have you who will come forward and replace them.
Barney may have called Barcelona the hamburger, but it was Man United who got mincemeat made out of them today.
Well, I think
they were in a bit of a pickle, I thought, didn't they?
I mean, Barney, touching on the three Champions Leagues in 6 years, people forget it's difficult in the heat of the moment to put a bit of perspective on sometimes the achievements of a team, but you don't have to go too far back in history to have a time when Barcelona were always a massive club but actually didn't feature that highly in terms of their stature on the European sort of stage and honours list. And actually their European final record was pretty poor up until about 2006, which is the first of the recent run, and they just won. They were involved in a final in, I think, 1961, which is 50 years ago.
Oof.
And then they had three finals around about the dream time, the dream team of Johan Cruyff, and then there was this massive gap. So they were only really on the same level of European Cups as Hamburg, Steaua Bucharest, and so on until recently. So obviously they've got this massive thing. Not only are they wanting to do exceptionally well, but the Real Madrid rivalry and the amount of Cups that they've got, obviously they're now getting to, not close, but having won compared to all of Real Madrid is quite a gap. But I think they probably only need another decade at the current rate and they'll be on nine themselves.
Yeah, and you can see them doing it. United, their performance probably better than it was 2 years ago when they got beaten by a two-goal margin.
But I think
margin.
Barcelona are better than 2 years ago,
right,
as well.
3-6 is extraordinary, as was the fact that Dimitar Berbatov not only wasn't in the squad, but wasn't even at the stadium.
Well, apparently so. According to the commentators, there was a gap in the line of players who weren't playing behind the Manchester United bench, and Dimitar Berbatov, who wasn't in the squad, wasn't there. So there was a lot of hooing and hawing as to whether he abandoned before the game had even really got into gear.
Is this a big
closed season transfer story building, do you think?
Well, I mean, he's still scored a lot of goals for Man United this season, so I don't think they'd be in a hurry to be selling him. But if he's disappeared, walked out of a Champions League final, that doesn't look good, does it?
Right.
If I turned up here for this tonight and it transpired that I wasn't on the panel, I'd have flounced home in a strop.
Right.
But that would never happen.
That's good to know, Barry. That's good to know. Anyone didn't perform for United, or is it just a question of how excellent Barcelona were?
I think it's pretty hard to pick holes in United. I mean, they were just absolutely steamrolled in midfield. I mean, Carrick came off fairly early. Every time he comes up against Xavi and Iniesta playing for Spain or Barcelona, it always is a terribly humiliating experience for him. It kind of looks a bit for them like playing table tennis against a six-year-old. I mean, he's a very sort of inferior Xavi-like kind of version. I mean, I don't think they really stood much of a chance. Valencia looked like a game too far for him as well.
On Twitter last night, I got a tweet from Bruce Millington, who's the editor of the Racing Post, and he put out his Man U team for the night, and I went, no Carrick, ? And his argument was, well, Carrick in the face of Barcelona, it's like a man being attacked by a swarm of bees, which I thought was funny and I'd steal to use as my own joke, but I better credit him. But I can never tell if Carrick's played well or not, watching on TV. I never know. Did he play well tonight? Did he not?
Did Carrick play well tonight?
I thought he was good in spots.
Carrick's a really good player. He plays in teams that win. He uses the ball really well. But he's just up against absolute master craftsmen. And United, I mean, if anything, they need... the player I think they really need is probably the wrong place to say, but they could really do with a Cesc Fabregas. I think it would be a brilliant signing for them. Exactly the player they need in the middle there. Obviously, he won't go there, but...
Okay. No, I mean, 2 years ago, Ferguson talking in the build-up to this game, saying about how he made fatal errors in the build-up to 2 years ago, and they weren't going to make it at the end this time. But, again, one doesn't want to focus on what United did wrong. It was a truly astonishing... Was it one of the... I'm thinking about maybe Milan, strangely enough, in 1994 against Barcelona in Athens. anything else that comes close to this level?
Probably going back to Real Madrid, Eintracht Frankfurt and
right,
stuff like that
that was
none of
other.
Us have seen. But... Yeah. No, I mean, it was an exceptional performance. And I think what's so incredible about this Barcelona team, you look at a guy like David Villa, not really won very much in his career for a long period of time, just a couple of Copa del Reyes up until recently, and then he had success with Spain. But for him to have had in his first year with Barcelona winning La Liga and the Champions League and scoring an exceptional goal tonight,
right.
It just goes to show, I mean, you know, players of great quality can come into this team and become even better, which is... a sign of how good the players around you are.
Yeah. And Messi scoring on English soil for the first time. Very, very exciting.
Tops that.
Yeah. Johan Cruyff yesterday saying that he just had dinner, name dropper, with Pep Guardiola, and that that was going to be Pep Guardiola's last game on the Barcelona bench. Is the team bigger than Pep Guardiola?
Well, Guardiola, he's suggested he wants to leave as well, hasn't he? I think it's a big challenge for them. He has really brought this team on. He's obviously a fantastic manager and the players love him. I mean, the bond with them is... I mean, presumably they've got someone in-house, which is where he came from, lined up to replace him. I mean, you wonder about things that could possibly derail this team. What's going to stop them winning the Champions League every year? Apart, obviously, from Stoke getting into Europe in a few games being arranged on a Tuesday night. And possibly the change of manager. But I imagine Barcelona have a contingency for that.
All right, excellent stuff. Well, that is part one, everybody. And congratulations to Barcelona. Commiserations and well played to Man United. And excitingly enough, part two awaits. Part two.
Hey. Before you start,
yes.
James, I'd like to read this extract from FHM. From an article headlined Britain's Favourite Football Pundit. In which you amazingly were voted number one. And there's a picture of you in FHM holding a pink organ called La Gazzetta. Yeah, we got Gazza to dress up as an egg and David Platt dressed up in leather as the Terminator.
Yeah.
Please
He's
elaborate.
A natural entertainer, that man. Yeah. I say we got him to dress up in leather, we just turned up early for filming that week. It's been a busy week in football. It's been a busy week in football. One or two events going on. A lot of betting on Harry Redknapp going to Chelsea. Barney?
That's just not going to happen, is there? There's no way in a million years will that happen. They don't want him. They want someone to win them the Champions League. Harry would like to have another go at the Champions League, but he is not a manager who's going to win you that. I mean, why on earth would you sack Ancelotti and get Harry Redknapp in to win you the Champions League? Yeah, it would be hilarious. It'd be brilliant. I'd love to see it. He'd sign Crouchy and, you know, it'd be great. And, you know, they'll be down to the bare bones every 5 minutes. It'll be hilarious. But, I mean, Abramovich would have to be insane.
But he is insane.
Having said that, as I said that, I kind of thought, well, yeah.
Also in the news this week, FIFA. Now, Barney, you've actually seen the FIFA buffet up close live and lived to tell the tale. How close were you to being eaten yourself?
I feasted on that buffet. It was remarkable. I mean, you're referring to, I went to the World Cup announcement. I was there when our three musketeers sort of proudly hawked our nation around to these bureaucrats. And, yeah, I mean, the buffet table was astonishing. I measured it was at least 70 metres, and there were 15 different types of bread available. It was incredible buffet table.
Were you surprised? I know you were surprised that day when Qatar and Russia were pulled out of the hat. I'm guessing
very
you were surprised.
Surprising, very surprising. Surprising.
Were you surprised at the way they have begun to turn on themselves this week? And do you hold out some glimmer of hope the whole smelly organisation might start to rip itself to shreds?
Something weird is definitely happening. It's definitely a change of tempo and a change of tone. And I think that someone's going to be hung out to dry. And there's sort of a suggestion it might even be
Blatter,
the big man. I mean, for the first time, it's not a good thing. He's up for re-election. It's kind of burning the boats, isn't it? I mean, they'll possibly say, "Well, he's gone now. We're no longer corrupt." I mean,
allegedly corrupt. Allegedly corrupt.
And yeah. Someone on Twitter said, "Generally, Paul Hayward retweeted this comment. I can't remember who it was, but." They quoted a line from Mississippi Burning, the rattlesnakes are starting to eat each other.
Frankly, sort of seeing them all there, kind of fondling the World Cup in their kind of palatial aircraft hangar residence, you've got a sense of just how absurd the whole place is. There is no reason for football to be run from this place and in that manner, and for the whole thing to be staged as kind of power theatre. It makes absolutely no sense. That's not what football's meant to be about.
But the only
what I find kind of interesting is every time someone loses an important job in football, there's a big Facebook campaign for Jimbo to get to replace him. So, James Richardson for president of FIFA, I would be wholeheartedly behind that.
I think, frankly, if only one person ends up being the fall guy, be it Blatter or Warner or whichever of these wonderful guys it is, I would despair, because really it needs to be all of them. And it just can't go on. It's just absolute madness. And clearly, to be conducting themselves in a way where they will not even have a discussion seriously about technology in the modern game, when you see something like what happened with France and Ireland in the World Cup, and they won't even entertain it. It's just enough. We've had this argument before.
The only way that's going to change, they always say, is if the sponsors actually begin to walk away. And so it was interesting this week that Adidas did actually say that the whole thing was a complete disgrace and was beginning to reflect badly on football. Barney, did you want to add something else?
Is that Adidas three stripes and you're out?
Barney, being at the World Cup buffet and the announcement of Qatar and Russia, was that one of your moments of the season?
Yeah, I think probably the Qatar announcement was a really extraordinary moment. There was sort of genuine sort of shock in the room. And watching the Qatar delegation leaping up and down and whooping was a genuinely strange moment. And you sort of realised that the world had slightly gone off its axis.
Yeah, indeed. Amy?
I have actually watched football in Qatar, and extraordinarily they do arrange kick-off times so that at half-time everybody can stop and pray. So it is quite a strange country to be holding a World Cup.
Not There's just
a
lot Chicharito. Of...
huh?
Not just Chicharito. Everybody. Amy, we were talking about moments of the season before, and you were saying, indeed, when the screen wasn't working, that it was the nastiest atmosphere you'd seen at the Emirates since a couple of weeks ago, and that in turn was probably the worst feeling, the worst breakdown of the relationship between the fans and the team that you can remember for sort of 30 years or so.
More or less. I'd say you probably have to go back to the last days of Don Howe, which is a very long time ago, for there to be sort of this level of unrest. And it's got to the point where you've got fans kind of turning on each other, and there's a real...
Fans turning on each other at the Emirates?
Believe
so they have to walk
not.
Quite a long way to find each other. Oh, it's a sellout. Sorry, I forgot. But because of the lack of success, the 6% increase.
Yeah, I just think there's a general feeling that there was the whole reason that the stadium that we're in today was supposed to happen was to enable Arsenal to compete on a level with Manchester United and Chelsea and even the likes of Barcelona. But it's clearly it's seeing things just the same problems every year and nothing seems to be progressing. I think that's what's getting people upset. Mm.
The fact that Kroenke, seems to be increasing his hold on the club, is that a positive thing? Do you see anything positive about next year, or do you think it's going to be Groundhog Day all over again?
Well, from what I hear, he's got no intentions to really make any grand changes. So I think that's everybody's expecting something big to change, either behind the scenes or in terms of on the pitch or in the management sort of setup. But a lot of people have been rather hoping, actually, that Pat Rice would perhaps call it a day after a long time being Wenger's number two. And
why is he the problem?
Or well, at least get a new pair of glasses.
If you look at... it's no coincidence. Alex Ferguson changes his right-hand man quite regularly, whether by design or not. But it does mean that there's different ideas, a different voice, and it's really been the same old at Arsenal for the best part of 15 years. And a lot of people feel that Wenger sort of runs a fiefdom and nobody challenges him at all. So whether somebody could come in and, hey, maybe even try practicing some corners, that would be a start.
Right. This just in, it says, Steve Bould, is he the solution? What would the problem be?
Well, if the problem is we really need someone to stand on people's feet while we take a throw in, push people out of the way, then he probably is the answer. I think a lot of people would like to see him promoted, wouldn't they? But Pat Rice isn't going, though, is he?
I mean, well, this is exactly what I was saying. Everybody's sitting there waiting for something, at least an opportunity for change. But by all accounts, this actually was a red herring. So people think it's going to be Groundhog Day all over again.
Will Wenger see the error of his way? Will he in any way just make a decision to change, do you think?
I think he needs to go on a very long holiday.
Right.
And reassess.
Where? Anywhere in particular?
Somewhere very relaxing where he might get away from football. And he has to have a major change of philosophy in many ways.
Right. Yeah, he has to. But is he going to do that? Is the Wenger for turning?
Well, he's known as one of the most stubborn men in football. So that's the big issue, isn't it?
Right.
Whether he can or wants to.
Your moment of the season, please.
Well, I can't remember stuff. My moment of the season at the moment is people on Match of the Day being asked for their moment of the season, not being able to remember anything. But and because it happened in the last 24 hours, I remember it quite clearly. I think my moment of the season is Northern Ireland playing an international game against Wales in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin last night and pulling a smaller crowd than we have here.
At least that crowd got to see the whole game.
So we are more popular than oh God, we're more important or more popular than Wales and Northern Ireland put together.
All right. Our hearts swelling with pride, we turn to Barney Roney.
Well, I've just realised my moment of the season has been pigeonholed into some ridiculous decision that happened in Zurich.
Right.
I think my moment of the season was actually Norwich being promoted, being there when that happened. It was brilliant to watch, and really, it's such a nice club. They did go absolutely bananas, and I think seeing the right back, the Norfolk Cafu, being stripped to his underpants by marauding Norfolk folk was probably my moment of the season. It was wonderful. I think it'll be great in the Premier League. I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
I think we can't talk moment of the season without having a mention of Richard Keys and Andy Gray. And
why, Amy? Why? What would you know about it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just a bird.
Sorry, could you just tuck this in for me, please, love? It's just a joke.
No, it was an epochal moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, for all of us that have been spoken down to whilst we watched our football over the last however many years, it was quite pleasant to think that we can at least watch football without being patronised permanently.
And in part three of tonight's podcast, Amy's going to talk us all through the offside rule.
What?
Barry, we're on our second round of moments of the season. Perhaps you'd like to use Gattuso's headbutt, or attempted headbutt, of Joe Jordan. What about that?
Well, Joe Jordan's an old friend of yours from Italia...
Thing.
Yeah, Thing. That programme we all used to watch on a Saturday morning, where you ate the cake. Or didn't, as the case may be.
All right, let's just take a moment.
I'm being heckled about ice cream. Technically, I can reveal it was a false gelato because if they had a real one, James took so long to get his lines right that it would have melted 10 times over.
It's true. But we had a gelato fluffer, so that was it. He used to whip it back up to the right kind of peak.
Yeah, but that was a great moment. I mean, a lot of my moments this season are Blackpool related. I won quite a lot of money betting on them to get promoted last season, so I was quite a fan of theirs. I'm sorry that they stayed, but I still think the goal they scored against Manchester United that was disallowed, that would have enabled them to beat Manchester United. That cost them their Premier League status, and that was a big moment for me. I was disappointed by that.
Should we mention the 4-4? Should we mention... Arsenal 4, Newcastle 0. I left at that point. That's how it finished, yeah?
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. No, but extraordinary, no? One of the most extraordinary turnarounds.
It was kind of a beautiful thing in that few things are funnier than seeing Newcastle go 4-0 down in 27 minutes. But one thing in the world that's funnier... is seeing Arsenal lose a 4-goal lead.
Was that the turning point, Amy, or was it the Carling Cup final?
I'd say it was the Carling Cup final, actually, but in many ways that game sums up exactly what Arsenal is at the moment, which is for a half they looked like they were capable of winning the league and for a half they looked capable of getting relegated.
So. Yeah, all right then. It could be worse for Arsenal fans. They could be supporting QPR and hit with swinging 40%. That's extraordinary, isn't it? Is that the most barefaced, brazen bit of a profiteering that we've yet seen from a football club?
It's a bit of a shame because QPR's fans...
They do need the money, I know, at QPR.
Yeah. They've been incredibly loyal and, you know, they pack their place out every week and they have great fans. It's a bit of a shame, but, you know, that's football under the kind of PLC... I'm sure they're in the PLC, but
it's
business structure.
Welcome to the Premiership, isn't it? Unfortunately, you know, most owners know that whatever they ask for, in the end, enough fans will pay it. And that's been the case up until pretty much now. So whether that changes over the next few years is a moot point. But QPR will sell out their season tickets this season. Mm. People just have to take it on the chin because they're desperate to see QPR in the Premier League after however many years out.
Right, part three, and excitingly... For listeners worldwide, yeah, you join us in the middle of an exciting, febrile atmosphere at a packed Royal Oak Suite at the Emirates, where we're now going live to the floor. Two roving microphones are amongst the heated and heaving crowd. Let's get the first question then.
As the Guardian Sports section most astutely pointed out, Leo Messi had gone 6 games in England without scoring a goal.
8.
However, Wayne Rooney had also gone 7 without scoring against a Spanish club, a trend which he managed to beat tonight. Would the panel like to comment on this fantastic event?
No.
I think I can comment on that in that you just wanted to get your little stat out. And there's not really a question there. But kudos to you for knowing that. I didn't know that.
We didn't actually mention the Rooney goal. And
are you a spy from the Football Ramble?
No.
You look a bit like one of them.
All right. Go on, Barney.
Well, I was just going to say, I thought it was a brilliant goal. I mean, he took it brilliantly. I think it was the only shot they had, and you could see it flying over the bar, and it was absolutely precision. And I'm pleased for Rooney because, you know, he often goes missing in these finals, and it was a good moment for him.
Hello, I'm Harry. I was just wondering, you were talking about Guardiola's future. I was wondering, under what circumstances do you think he would leave Barcelona?
Either if he's bored and he fancies a break, or he would leave for more money. That's everyone in football leaves everywhere for more money.
He's claimed that the reason that he doesn't want to sign contracts more than 6 months is because the intensity of the pressure of being in charge of Barcelona is just very difficult to live with over a long period of time.
There's a lot of evidence that if you stay in the same job for too many years, performance just...
Really? Don't know.
Okay, another one for the... Oh, over there.
With a team like Barcelona, which taking 15 years to grow, like Xavi, Iniesta, all this sort of stuff, grown from 14-year-olds, whatever, will it take 20 years for us to find a Champions League final which is actually competitive? Because tonight it was 12 minutes, which was actually a competitive game, and from then on Barcelona dominated.
I think last year's final was quite competitive. It just so happens that Barcelona are an extraordinarily good team, but they're not going to necessarily... look, they couldn't even get to the final last season, so it's I don't think it's such a problem. It's up to that. They've set such a standard, it's up for everybody else to get there.
I mean, the dream is that someone else will grow a Barcelona and you'll get to see Barcelona against Barcelona. But like you say, it's taken 15 years and they have the most fantastic system. And I don't see anybody out there with the patience or the wherewithal or the will to see it through. I mean, you need an ideology to drive that. Arsene Wenger is trying something similar here, but because they've only come third in the league, everybody's saying he's got to sack Pat Rice. Oh, fourth, wow. Sack Pat Rice. People aren't very patient, and Barcelona have had the economic might and the will to see it through, and I can't see anybody beating them. I mean, there's nobody producing players like that or producing a system and a team.
Right, okay, excellent. Now, is it final question time? Let's hope it's something really stupid.
Hi, I'm Kira from London. I would be particularly interested in Barry's views on this. Given the coefficient difficulties in Serie A, how does he think that Napoli and Udinese will be getting on next season? Will they be competitive?
quick, in here.
As everyone knows, I'm a huge fan of Italian football. I've long been a student of Napoli and Udinese, and I could bore you at great length for hours tonight, but I'd rather hand over to James and he could tell us how he thinks Napoli and Udinese will do tonight. But if anyone is planning on getting the last tube home, I would suggest the exits are there. Yeah, James?
No, I think...
No one cares. she was being funny, no one cares.
Yeah. Let's get the...
There was a little moment there when you looked and you went, maybe they care a bit.
Maybe they care a bit.
No. Does anyone care?
It's not so much that they don't care, it's just that I don't know.
Will they get out of the group stages?
Well, that's the thing, I don't know. It depends if Udinese sell off all their best players. They've been very clever at replacing their players. And in 1996... No. I don't know. I would dearly love to see both teams do well, especially because Udinese have done more to shatter the caricature, the clichés about Italian football this season with their style of play, which is the equal of pretty much any team in Europe when they're on form. They're absolutely extraordinary. Whether that team will still be in place when they hit the big European stage next year is the big thing that so often you see in European football, that when a little club has success, the very act of achieving that success means that they then destroy the thing which made them great. So, So, well, that, you'll be shocked, stroke, relieved to hear, is that for today's Football Weekly Live, and indeed for this season. We will be back in not too long with the new campaign, and we look forward to you joining us for that. In the meantime, many thanks to everyone listening, and to everyone who made the trek down here to the Emirates and put up with difficult conditions and remained good-humoured and patient throughout, which I think was very, very commendable and Guardian reading of you all. So give yourselves a big pat on the back, and many thanks. Have a super evening, and we will be around at the bar queuing with the rest of you, I suspect, after this.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.